in the life of the church, in the life of each Catholic, there are many choices to be made. And of course, the choice of today is very important. St. Peter asks our Lord, "We have left everything for thee, what is in it for us?" And of course, whether we are courageous enough to ask that of our Lord, each and every one of us, or not, that's really what is behind our face, behind the facciata, as we say in Italian, the mask. We all want to know what's in it for me. We don't really care what's in it for God. We say we do, but we don't. And that's just a reality. It's a very sad reality, but it's just the way it is. And our Lord knows it. He wasn't fooled by anybody, nor is he fooled now. But in life, there are many choices to be made, and there are many good things to come or bad things to come as a result of our choices. Now, the saint of today, who is extremely important to me, if it weren't for him, I would not be here, is an ancestor of mine through my grandmother, my mother's mother. And his life is just a miracle in itself, in so many ways. He is the grandson of Pope Alexander VI. And he is a Borgia, as I am a Borgia. Be careful with Borgias, they'll get you. Sooner or later, nothing escapes us. Pope Alexander had many, many public sins. You know, today there are many public sins too, in a different direction. Today the faith and the liturgy are assaulted, right and left. And I understand that there was a statue of a demon presented to someone this week, a demon who is the destroyer of priests and of the priesthood. Can you imagine that? We have a lot of praying to do, and we are being punished for our own sins. But Alexander, though he was very immoral, I mean, he did have children and grandchildren, even though he was the Pope, nevertheless, did a lot for the liturgy and for the church. As I've mentioned here very often, the Angelus would not be part of our life if it were not for him. And how many graces and indulgences do we not receive every time we say the Angelus? And when the whole church is saying the Angelus, imagine that. And we owe that to him. I oftentimes pray for him that he may not be in hell, that he may be in purgatory, in which case there is a chance, there's a hope. And of course, even he could very well be in purgatory. Anyway, his son, who was a horrible criminal in many ways, he got what he received. He married a beautiful Spanish princess because Alexander wanted his family to be greater and greater and greater. And so he married a princess, and as a result, he became, and the Pope named him, and the King of Spain, and the Queen of Spain, Venerable Queen Isabel, who could not stand Alexander because he was very immoral, and she was the opposite, the total opposite. He became the third Duke of Gandia. And Gandia is in the region between Valencia and Navarra and Barcelona. That whole section there is Gandia. It's no longer a province, but it was at that time, a kingdom, really. Anyway, when she was pregnant with St. Francis, his mother escaped. She had help, and she got away. As a matter of fact, her husband's sister, who is very much maligned in history, Lucrezia Borgia, who was not as horrible as they said she was. Anyway, she helped her to get away because he was an evil, evil man. He would even beat her, even with child. And so she got away, And Francis was born in Spain. In the meantime, the father, husband, was murdered by his other brother. They were not good children. So, I mean, if your children are troublesome, imagine that. Alexander got exactly what he deserved. But in the meantime, God had other plans. The little Francisco, fourth Duke of Gandia, grew up, and his mother was very virtuous. She was nothing at all like his father or his grandfather. And in the meantime, in order to make sure that he had both a good life, a good career, and was in good company, she placed him at the service of King Philip II of Spain, and also Emperor Charles V, his father. So he grew up in the court. In the meantime, he married as a young man, very young, Leonora de Castilla, Eleanor of Castile. And they had about 10 children. And then it was his job. He became the second person in the empire. And it was his job as the one who took the place of the emperor on important occasions. When the Empress Isabel died, they were in Austria, I believe, at the time, or maybe in Holland, which belonged to the empire and to Spain at that time. It was his job to escort her body, her cadaver, back to Spain for burial in the tomb of the kings of Spain. And of course, before she was buried, he had the job of recognizing the body, which is still used, this ceremony, in the case of a person who is going to be beatified or going to be canonized. That's how we find out that they're incorrupt or whatever. Well, Empress Isabel was very virtuous, but not a saint. And so when he opened the coffin, he saw that she was already corrupted. The beautiful, beautiful Empress was now ugly, and there were maggots coming in and out of her nose and her eyes and her ears. You know, a really good lunch for the little fiends down there. And so he closed it back up, and he decided at that very moment that he was going to give up the world as soon as he could. In the meantime, he had become friends with another great Spaniard, St. Ignatius de Loyola. Well, his wife, Leonora, died, and he got permission from the emperor and from the king and the pope, the successor, not his grandfather, to enter the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits. And so he left everything behind. In the life of St. Teresa of Avila, she mentions the heroicity of this man. He left everything. If St. Peter thinks he left everything, he left nothing but a few smelly fish. Francis left riches and riches and riches and power. He left it all, and he entered the Society of Jesus. Eventually, he would become the third general, Father General of the Society of Jesus, and he did much to help the society grow, and sent Jesuits to the New World, into our area, where many of them were martyrs, as we saw recently in the North American martyrs, St. Isaac Yog and the others, who were martyred for the faith, for the love of Jesus Christ. And it was his responsibility. And he did much more for the church. And so he died, and not long after that, he was also canonized. And so, of no merit of my own or of my grandmother's, we are his descendants. If he had not been born, if he had not been the grandson of Alexander and of his son, who was a fiend, we would not be here. And so we give thanks to Almighty God for St. Francis Borja. In Spanish, it's San Francisco de Borja. And my grandmother was a Borja. May she rest in peace. And so we give thanks to God. But it shows you, no matter how horrible the beginnings, and how immoral the people around the life of a person, whoever that person may be, it could be one of you. You can become a great saint. And from you and from them can grow a great saint. And indeed is one of the greater saints of the Counter-Reformation that fought against the Protestants and all their evil heresies. So today, I very joyfully and lovingly pray to my manifold grandfather, St. Francis Borgia, and give thanks to God for all his blessings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.